are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
That's where you're entertained and educated at the exact same time. Kind of like what I call being inspired and motivated. And of course I call that motivation.
Tune in, lean in, listen up now.
To OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show, I'm your host, Mara Gale. I am author, evangelist, and content creator. And I'm believing this will be a motivational experience. Our intent is to empower, inspire, motivate, and equip. You see, we broadcast the beauty of beginnings by sharing God's promises through personal stories. And if you're tuning in for the first time, welcome to OMG. We hope that you become a longtime listener. And for those of you that have been rolling with me for a while, thanks for adding such sweetness to my hot tea. There's something for everyone, so be sure to tune in, lean in, and listen up on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. We're keeping it real. That's real triumph, real tragedy, real tips, tools, and truth. And I'm super excited about tonight's topic because it's about when help hinders. Now, I don't know about y'all, but every now and again, I have been known to put my hand out to prevent somebody else from falling. Now, nothing is wrong with helping people. Nothing is wrong with lending a helping hand. However, there are times when we put our hand out to help someone to prevent them from falling, but in reality, we should have allowed them to scrape their knees. I know that sounds like an ouch moment, but the reason for that is sometimes if you help people time and time again, and you continue to bail them out of their problems, they never really get an opportunity to do what? Learn the lesson. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of that. When I was younger, I was codependent. I had to fix things, fix people, fix everything. I dated people that needed my help, that I had to fix up and work with, and I'm so grateful that at some point in my life I was delivered from that. It's been dozens of years now, but when I was younger, that was one of my problems. I just wanted to help people. I could see things. I thought I could see things that they were unaware of, and then I could help them. And then I'm sure you guys have known parents or friends who have helped their kids to a fault. I know that's an ouch moment. Because how do you stop helping somebody who you love? How do you stop bailing somebody out who needs your help? But there's a problem with that. Sometimes when you continuously extend yourself and you continuously prevent them from falling, prevent them from scratching their knees, prevent them from going bankrupt, prevent them from being kicked out, evicted, or losing their car, what you have then done is set them up for failure, because it's almost impossible to learn the lesson of money management, time management, or troubleshooting if mommy or daddy or the best friend continues to bail them out. Now, I know I'm not the only one in this situation, and I know y'all got some questions, and if you've got some questions, feel free to give me a call. You can call in to OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show. All you have to do is dial 347-324-5246. And you're going to press 1. When you press 1, you'll be entered into a queue, and then we'll unpack that conversation. I have one statement from someone. It says, you have to distinguish the help you are giving. He says, this person says, I have a son that I had to cut off a lot of help to. I was giving because it wasn't helping. I'm sorry. It wasn't helping. So my help was mostly advice now, suggestions, and prayer. That's a great thing to do. That was Claudia that submitted that. Her help wasn't helping them, so now she cut it off, and she gives them advice. She gives them suggestions. She gives them prayers. And I know there are some of you out there who have children or you have friends. Sometimes you have a friend that will take advantage of the fact that you have always bailed them out. I used to have a friend when I was in California, and I would help them all the time. When their car broke down, I was Johnny on the spot, either to help them fix it or I would bail them out and I would give them rides everywhere they went. And I realized every time I bailed them out, they would take the money that they, when they got the money, they would spend it on their nails, they would spend it on their hair, they would spend it on clothing. So I realized that it wasn't that they were in dire straits. They were mismanaging the money that they were earning. And once you realize that, you know, you can't okey-doke me. You can't okey-doke me now. Once I find out this is what you're doing, it's an adios to you. And then there's another statement that my brother Damien wrote. He says, I believe that sometimes when we bail people we love out of their mess too much, we can get in the way of the lesson that God is trying to teach them. I completely agree with that, and I'm sure you guys agree with that. Because, see, the reality is, in the Word, it talks about what is it to thee. And what is it to thee means when God is trying to work something out in a person, when God is trying to stretch someone, or when God is trying to reveal to them what they should be learning in that season, and you constantly put your hand out to prevent them from falling, you are enabling the person, and then you're also halting the lesson that God is trying to share with them or show them. And I hate when people have to take a class 4, 5, 6, and 7 times. And I'm one of those people that I ain't got to pay for a lesson that you've already paid for. Listen, if you pay for the lesson, I don't have to learn it again. I don't have to take it again. No, sirree. If you pay for it, I'm going to believe it and I'm going to keep it moving, because I want God to expose to everybody the lessons they want to learn. Because the truth is, I could bail you out, or you could bail somebody out, and if they haven't learned the lesson, guess what? They're going to keep taking that class. They're going to continuously find themselves coming back to that same lesson. And that's one of the things I don't like people to do, because that's time, and time is way more valuable than any amount of money that you or your friends have to give to somebody. So I want to find out how many of you guys agree with that. How many of you guys feel like, yes, this is another comment that just came up. Sometimes we become enablers trying to help. That's exactly right, Angie, because the problem is when you're trying to help that much, they never get to learn how to walk, how to crawl, how to manage a bill, how to manage a relationship. How many of you have ever had people come to you about relationships and you're always giving them advice, and in the moment, they are right on board with you. They're like, oh, my goodness, this is some great advice. Thank you so much. And then you see them going back and doing the same thing. You know what I don't like doing? I don't like wasting what I call end-of-life oxygen. That means if I'm on my deathbed and I have approximately 60 seconds to get some words out because that's all the oxygen left in my lungs, I would hate to think that I wasted my pearls on swine, meaning I wasted a conversation on somebody who really wasn't at the place where they wanted to take the advice, make the adjustments, or do the work. I have a challenge with that. Now, I'm patient. I am an extremely patient person, but I don't like mess. And I don't like it when people solicit my advice and really are on board with my advice, and then they either chicken out or they fall back into an old habit, or somebody gets into their ear and lulls them back into the sin that they say they want to get out of. I don't know about y'all, but that happens all the time. I hear you, my sister. You said, amen, I learn from the mistakes of others. Yes, I tell people all the time, I don't have to pay for a lesson you've already paid for. I don't have to bump my head if I see the bruise upside yours that came from the actual incident. I don't want to do a repeat. I am not that stupid, and I am not that dumb. I don't think I'm stupid or dumb at all, but I'm definitely not dumb enough to do the same thing you did that you ended up getting punished for, or you got a knock upside your head about. That is not me. So tonight's conversation about unpacking it, you know, I was having a conversation with another girlfriend of mine, and she was discussing a conversation about a family member, and they were having a hard time doing the things that they needed to accomplish. And her concern and worry for them was so much that she ended up getting sick. And I don't know about you, but that's happened to me too, where I was so concerned about the welfare and the well-being of other people because I was helping them that I ended up getting sick. That doesn't help or benefit anybody. And then someone else just said, I have experienced helping someone so much until I started to feel like it was my problem. Ouch. I had to let it go. The weight was becoming heavier on me than it was for them. Deborah, I'm going to say amen, Ms. Boo, because that is the truth. You can invest yourself, your time, your treasures, which is time and energy and advice. You can invest those treasures to a point in someone that you eventually feel like it's your way. Now, you go home. You ain't got the debt problem. You ain't got the repossession problem. You ain't got the eviction notice on your house. You don't have any of those situations. But because you have personally invested yourself so much into their situation, you have now taken on their problem, and it is weighing on you like a set of weights in a gym room. Now, that's wrong. That's completely wrong. Why is that wrong? That's wrong for multiple reasons. One, the goal was to help. The goal was to help. You got into it because you wanted to help somebody accomplish something, complete something, afford something, or not get kicked out of a house or lose a car, et cetera. When helping starts to hinder, you have now not only hurt yourself, but you have prevented the person an opportunity to grow. And growth is all we should ever want for people, really. I mean, that doesn't mean you don't help people. That doesn't mean you don't chime in and you don't assist people. I totally get it. I got a huge heart. I bless people. I give to charities. I'll drive all the way across town to take somebody someplace if I got the time because I'm grateful that I have a vehicle and the means to put gas in a car to be able to go someplace. But that's not to be taken advantage of, and that's not to be at a point where the person doesn't learn how to be responsible. My cousin Sonia says we need to stop trying to be other people's saviors. There is only one, and that is God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And an amen, cousin. Yes, that is absolutely, positively true. And so the next time that you find yourself in these situations, what do you think you should do? If you have bailed somebody out a dozen times and they still haven't quite learned the lesson, what do you do? You know, do you end up feeling guilty when you say no? Because that's a whole nother mind trip. Sometimes people will make you feel bad. They'll actually use things against you, meaning they know that you have a heart to help. And so they will end up trying to make you feel bad for not helping them. The friend that I was sharing with you guys, I was telling you guys about, and I said that I was helping the person, and they were going to get their nails done and hair. Now, I'm bailing them out. And it wasn't like I was balling out of control. It's just that I was able to manage my money appropriately. But this particular person needed some help. I financed them in a situation, and they told me they would pay me back. And I believe they would pay me back. But when they showed up at my house, the person had their hair done. Now, that shouldn't be of concern to me, but it was, because when I loaned them the money, and I made a promise to myself, if I can't afford to give it away, I can't loan it. But when I loaned them the money, I told them this: I'm loaning you this money. I definitely need it repaid by X, Y, and Z date. However, this was not on my docket to do, which means I'm going to have to tighten my belt a little bit in order to loan you the money. So those were the conditions. That was the explanation. So imagine my frustration, that's the word we're going to use, when the person showed up at my house with their hair done and their nails done. When I'm tightening my belt, I'm not eating out this week. I'm not getting my hair done or my nails done this particular week. But they show up at my house with hair done, nails done, and they don't have my money because they tell me, this was just priceless, they said, listen, I don't want to hear you fuss about this, but let me tell you what happened. My mother ended up loaning me some money too, so the money she gave me is what I used to get my hair and my nails done. Y'all see anything wrong with that? Y'all see anything wrong with that? So you borrow some money from me, and the due date that you owe me hasn't arrived, but your mother loans you some money, and instead of you paying me with that money and then waiting for your check to come in to pay your mama back, you go get your nails done and your hair done. So y'all know I cut that person off. After they paid me back, that was the end of that, and I have not looked back since because I realized I had been playing savior to them. I had a codependency. I needed to be needed, and that's no longer my lot in life. There's nothing I can do for folks who can't help themselves. Now, there are people who are helpless, okay? I'm not talking about little kids. I'm not talking about people who have physical ailments, and I'm not talking about people who have mental challenges. I'm talking about people who are able and willing to work but too lazy to work, or people who mismanage their money all the time, chronically mismanages their money, their finances. And for those kinds of people, you know, if there's a group of 10 and you're the one who's wealthy or you're the one who has money and 9 people are broke, guess who next? You do the math. 10 of y'all, 9 people broke. You got money. Everybody pulling on you. Guess who next? You can't have a posse who doesn't want to rise to the occasion. You know, I had rules about my friendship. I was like, if you're rolling with me and you want to be an entrepreneur, black woman working, or you want to be employed, or you want to be in business for yourself, there were rules to it. You had to work at it. You had to have goals. You had to save more than you spent. You know, there's no way I'm going to eat all the seed that I actually earn, because eating all the seed that you actually earn doesn't afford you an opportunity to reinvest in the product, to reinvest in the goals that you want to accomplish, or to have enough set aside when there's a rainy day or when you want to take your business or your strategy to the next level. That's why being a savior to someone, trying to bail them out every time something comes up, prevents God from teaching them the lesson, because God could be stretching them, trying to get them to depend on him, trying to download wisdom into them so that they make better decisions when they do have the finances, or when they do have the position, or when they do become a steward of an apartment or a house or a car. And let's talk about that. You know, how many times have you been in a vehicle of someone and they're just not a good steward over their vehicle? Now, that doesn't mean you got to be able to eat off the carpet of someone's floor, but everything that we do in life is about stewardship. You have stewardship over your body. You have stewardship over your finances. You have stewardship over every relationship you have. That's parent, daughter, son, parent, mother, daughter, father, son. That's boss, employee. That's husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever friendship, being a Christian, being a believer, serving at church. Everything is about stewardship, stewardship over relationship, stewardship over finances, stewardship over your body, stewardship over the thoughts that you think, and the words that you put out, because all of it is seed. Your words that go out are seeds, and the words that people speak to you are seeds. The money that you sow are seeds. The money that you receive are seeds. What are you doing with them? So you want to make sure that you're investing them in fertile ground. You want to make sure that you get an ROI, a return on investment. Now, oftentimes, you may sow financial seeds, and the return on investment isn't necessarily a financial return, but you get to watch that person go to college, or you get to watch whatever charity you give to. You get to watch them expand their research. Whatever it is, it's about stewardship. So why be a poor steward of your time, your energy, and your finances, seeding into someone who is going to be right back at the well like their bucket was completely empty? You're pouring into someone, and there's a hole in their bucket because they haven't comprehended what they need to do in order to carry the water to its destination, or in order to hold on to the finances until they pay off the bill, because the shiny object, like the new watch or the new car or the new cell phone or the new earbuds or the new clothes, is always calling on them. And so you're working hard, and your hard-earned money is going to support habits, projects, and materialistic things that will not give them value in the end, that they will not grow or learn because they're not learning how to manage their money. They're still spending it. They're still spending it on frivolous things. They're still buying things that will not give them health insurance, life insurance, or afford them an opportunity to think about when they are retired. They are living day to day. And you are working hard and you are saving your money and you're being practical and pragmatic. And when you give it to someone who disrespects or disregards money, and there are lots of people that do, when you give it to someone that disrespects it, who doesn't have a regard for it, who doesn't know how to be a steward over it, you are throwing your money out the window. You might as well open up a window and toss your money out. I'm just saying it. It's tight, but it's right. And that's what I've found has happened. You know, I talk to so many people who say to me, you know, I just keep doing this for my son or my daughter. And, you know, and every day just keep coming here, or the daughter keeps quitting jobs and moving back in with mom, or the son can't seem to make it on his own and he moves back in the house. Well, my mother had a rule. And I'm grateful my mother had a rule. She told us when we were 18, if we weren't away at college or in a local school, and if we weren't working a job full time, we had to get out of her house. And if we were working a job full time, she says, I will give you 2 years to save your check so that you can move out of my house and get on your own. She didn't play 21 years old living in her house under her air conditioner, under her heating, trying to be grown when she had rules. She didn't play it, and I believed her. So at 16 and a half, almost 17, I went away to college. And when I graduated college, I was back in her house for 2 months before I moved to Atlanta to work for CNN Headline News. And that was the last time I had to live with my mama, because I believed her when she said to me, when you are grown, you need to be on your own. I just believed her. And I'm glad that she had those kind of rules, because having those kind of rules set me up for success, made me realize that I needed to learn how to stand on my own 2 feet. I needed to be responsible for the things that I was a shepherd or a steward over, and I needed to plan. I needed to pay things off, which is also why 2 years into working a job outside of college, I paid off my college loan. Now, I know times have changed. I know school and college loans are exorbitant. I had help because I did a rap album in high school to help pay some of my college tuition. So I had help, but that was me using my talents and my gifts, because the word says that your gifts will make room for you and put you before great men. And that's exactly what my daddy did. So my rap album with Curtis Blow helped pave the way and afford me an opportunity to go to college. It paid a portion of it. And then I worked every year while I was in college. I wasn't trying to come home and hang out at mom's and hang out with my friends. I was trying to make that cheddar so that I could pay for school, so that I could buy my supplies. My mother had 6 kids and my brother was in med school. She couldn't afford to be sending me money while he was in med school, and she couldn't afford to be taking care of me when she still had other kids that she had to take care of. So I was responsible. I remember, I'm reading something that someone named Reese said. She says, I remember your point way back in the early 2000s when you came to Mount Sinai, ride, Rosa, ride, hold your head up, lean your back in the seat, and rest your weary feet. Yes. And the lesson from Rosa Parks was she didn't allow anyone to stop her from doing what she had to do. In that moment, it was a pivotal moment, and she had to hold her head up high and take a stand for something, or she would have failed for anything. That's exactly how it goes. And then another young lady says, I had a family member tell me that they always ask me for money because she knows I have it and will give it to her. I could camp out right there, but I'm not going to tarry, but I am going to talk about it. When someone is bold enough to say that to you, you can count it a blessing, because they're basically forecasting the play. They're telling you, look, I'm always coming to you, because not only do you have it, but you're going to give it to me. No matter what it's for, I know you're going to give it to me. That's when people mix up kindness for weakness. And at some point, you got to learn the power. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for this word? You sure you're ready for this word? Let me give you the word. It's simple. Two letters. N-O. The power of no is freeing. The power of no is liberating. The power of no is necessary. Why is it necessary? Because the power of no allows somebody else to figure out how to get to the answer. It allows somebody else to figure out how to save for the thing they say they want. It allows somebody else to actually comprehend what they need to do in order to set themselves up for success and allow their paycheck to be stretched for a whole 30 days. Everybody gets paid after they work, but you're not going to go out there, work, spend your money on what you want to spend your money on, and then come get my money that I've been saving so that when I have a hard day or I have a sickness in my body or I have a last-minute situation that needs to be paid for, I don't have the money because I've depleted my savings trying to give you your shiny object. No, sir. No, ma'am. Not on my watch. Not. No. We not. No. No. That's a capital N and a capital O. And I'm saying that in love. I'm not saying that meanly. I don't talk to the people like that yet and not feel guilty. I don't feel guilty about my no's. You know why? Because I have a yes in my spirit for God. When God calls me to do something, when I feel that somebody really needs it, like, for example, some people don't give money to people on the street, homeless people or people begging on the street. I don't have a problem with that. Even if the person may go buy some alcohol or drugs or whatever, if in that moment my spirit says yes, I will give it to them. But what you're not going to do is spray the water on my windshield and start wiping it before I told you I was going to give you something. No, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen with me. Because when I want to give you something from my heart, you're not going to make me feel guilty. You're not going to bribe me or twist my arm into making me give it, because that's not giving it the way it's supposed to be given anyway. Same with tithing. Y'all know about that, right? If you're going to tithe in church, then give it with a cheerful heart, because God loves a cheerful giver. I do the same thing when I give somebody my time. I don't go and volunteer at the church. I don't go and volunteer to bless somebody and help them pack up their house with a funky or stinky attitude. No, I go with a cheerful heart. I make it up in my mind. If I got to spend all day committed to the thing that I said I wanted to do, then time is underneath my feet and I'm in it for the long haul. Now, if I have a time restriction and I say, you got 4 hours, that doesn't mean when I get to your house and you're jabbing and we're not doing the work that 2 hours later and I'm ready to go and you're just now getting started, that you say, you told me 4 hours. From the time I get there, if I say I have 4 hours, you got a 4-hour block. We ain't lollygagging and you can't go get on the phone while we trying to do stuff. If I'm giving you my time, then you should be respectful of my time enough to be all in while I'm there. And that goes for a whole bunch of other things. Now, I ain't going to preach, but one of those other things y'all know that happens, the power of no. Yes, Mildred. Yes, the power of no. Oh, and another person said, I was, let me see what you said. I was a yes person until I needed to borrow money. Ooh. I was a yes person until I needed to borrow money, and the same people that I helped did not help me. They said no. That's sad. That hurts. And, you know, it's interesting because one of the other things we can't do, and this isn't a knock or a slant because I used to do it too. One of the things we can't do is the people that I give into aren't necessarily the people to give back. But you do know, just like me, Dora, I had the same problem. The person that I was telling you guys about that I would bail out and I would drive them to work, and if their car broke down, I would pay to get the car fixed. Even when they went into business for themselves, instead of just congratulating them, I gave them a cash box so that they always have money to be able to afford products. I needed help once, and it wasn't a financial help. I had been in the hospital, and my mom was in Chicago, and I needed somebody to be at the house while I was healing. And I asked the person if they could just come over and help me with, volunteer to come over one of the 6 days that I was going to be kind of down. And they told me they would have to check their schedule. And then I said, okay, can you get back to me? Because I'm trying to plug some people in and see who could be there for me. When I tell you crickets for 7 days, I told y'all I only needed people for 6 days. Crickets for 7 days. That is like some you know, when the athletes are on the football field or somebody passes out and they put that sauce under their nose and they kind of come back to life. That's what that was to me. I'm sure that was what that was to you too, Dora, because nothing hurts your feelings more than when
you go to assist somebody selflessly all the time, and you know you don't need from them often, if ever. It may be the one time you go to them, and they you can't even buy a vow. All the money you've given them, all the time and energy and advice you've given them, and you can't buy a vow. Ouch. And then I see my brother Jono, Pastor Jono says boundaries and expectations are important. That's why I remember, now I don't really do it too much, but I remember my friends used to say, do you have a sign on your forehead? Because people are always borrowing from you. And I said, no, I said, I don't have a sign on my forehead about that. But then I realized I cannot continue to prevent God from growing them up in stewardship. So then I put a maximum on it. Okay, I am not loaning out more than $200. And then I never loan anything I can't afford to give away. But I don't say, I'm loaning you this, but you can have it if you can't pay me back. Because if I'm loaning it to you, I'm expecting a return. I'm expecting what you are borrowing from me to be returned. That's why it's called borrowing. Now, it's not a gift. Now, there are people I have given gifts to. And there are some times that the person can come to me to pay me back. And I'll say, you know what? You keep that and save it. You know, that's me investing. But I needed to know that they would give the money back. I needed to know that they would be true, or man or a woman of their word, that they would pay me back if they were, in fact, borrowing from me. And so that's already established. Those are the expectations. And the boundaries are, you never allow somebody to take from you or get from you what you can't afford to give away. And then don't continue to borrow or loan to people who don't pay you back. If they didn't pay you back the first time that you loaned them $20, and then they come to you and they borrow $50, you can't be mad when they don't pay you back the $50 because they never paid you back the $20. What do you think they do? You think they're going to change their mind and change their stride, that they're going to all of a sudden get a new conscience when they couldn't pay you back $20, they're going to now be able to pay you back $50? It's not going to happen. So if they come to you trying to borrow money and they didn't pay you back the money before, they don't get to borrow again. I'm sorry, that may hurt your feelings, but I promise you, they got somebody else they'll be able to go to. And better yet, how about volunteering to do a little overtime at work? How about going to get a second job? I remember the time I worked two jobs. I was not going to be poor. Look, I grew up with all kinds of, I grew up in the hood. So we had, situations where you had to wash your glasses and your dishes and all of that stuff out. I had made a promise to myself I would never have to live like that again. So that means I got to work. I got to make sure that I'm constantly creating content or constantly creating products or making sure that my gifts are being honed, are being sharpened. That's why I put out new photos. That's why I put out new demos. That's why I do the work, because I don't want to be unemployed. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be at the point where I can't afford the O or the R again, ever. I was like, I'm not going to be that person. And so I work very hard, and I'm very focused on it, very, very focused on it. And I make sure that I am a good steward over the things that I do have possession over. Now, again, I want to remind anybody, if there's anybody out there that has a question that you want to ask, if you want to call in, feel free to give us a call. The phone number is 347-324-5246. You'll press 1 and you'll be entered into the queue. And I appreciate this conversation. You guys are right on point. I thank you so much for your feedback and your interaction. Again, this topic, it's been heavy on my heart, because so many friends that I know are in tears because their children are taking advantage of them. Their children are taking advantage, and I'm not talking the children under 12 or under 15. I'm talking grown kids who've been on their own, who got jobs, who got cell phones that cost $1,000. Hello, somebody. I'm talking, you can afford a cell phone for $1,000, but you ain't paying your car note. You can't sleep in your phone. You cannot sleep inside your telephone. Your phone is not going to provide heat for your home, food for your table, or gasoline for your automobile. So if you've got a $1,200 cell phone and you coming to me for some gas money or a car note, I got a problem with that if you've grown and you working too. And that's not to be confused with when people fall on hard times. Things like that happen. I do know that. Absolutely, I know that. I know people fall on hard times, and I know you can help them when they fall on hard times. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking codependency. I'm talking about preventing people from learning the lessons that God is trying to teach them. I'm talking about being or having a savior complex. I'm talking about being codependent, where you have a need to be needed, and that has to change. You cannot make yourself or infuse or inject yourself into other people's lives so that you feel more valuable, so that you feel you're necessary. I want people to depend only on God because I can't give you air. I can't give you your muscles. I can't make them work. I can't open up your eyes. I can't cause sound to come out of your mouth. I can't cause sight to be seen with your eyes. I can't cause sound to be heard with your ears. I can't cause any of your organs to work properly or the blood to flow through your brain. You don't need me. You may want me in your life, and that's fine, but you don't need me in your life. And I don't want to feel like I'm needed in that way. I don't want to feel like you can't go left or right and you can't do this because I can't do that for you. That is not what my purpose is. My purpose is to help expose things to you, to reveal things to you, to challenge you. I'm talking if I'm your friend, to challenge you to be the best person that you can be. As a sister, I challenge my sisters and my sisters challenge me. As a believer, I challenge my sphere of influence the same way. And as a person who has their own radio show, I do the same thing. My goal, my heart, my desire is to challenge you to come up higher, to think about the choices that you make, and to think and ponder the consequences, which means what? I want you to count the cost. I want you to think about things before you do it. Don't speak and not know who your words may impact, affect, or hurt. You know, the Bible talks about kill, steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. You can kill somebody's dreams by the response and reaction you have to them sharing their dreams. You can steal your child's joy. If your child is at school all day and they come home and mommy and daddy is on a cell phone after your kid has been with their teacher and their classmates for 7 and 8 hours and you don't get off the phone so that you can give your child some attention, because what you then tell your child is the inanimate object to your ear and the person who's far further away than they are more important to you than the little being you created. Now, that's kill, steal, and destroy. That's not being a good steward over parenting. That's not being a good steward over your time. I remember when I was steward over two little bitty children that I love. They were my son and my daughter. It was through a marriage, but they were mine. And when their bus would come up, I'd say, oh, the bus is pulling up. And whoever I was on the phone with, okay, then I'll talk to you tomorrow. Because I had rules. I had rules. When my children got off that bus, they were the most important thing in the world to me. And I wanted them to know I missed them, and I wanted to hear about their day, and I didn't want them to feel like they were less important to me than the inanimate object to my ear or the person on the phone that I was communicating with. And that's what some of you need to do. You need to be dialed in and in tune with the people that are in your life, not just those that are there to help you, but those who you are in their lives to help. Some people don't necessarily need you to bail them out again, but they need you to give them the stone cold truth and tell them you haven't been a good steward over your money for a long time. You haven't been a good steward over your money for a very long time. And I've been helping you and I've been bailing you out and you're not getting better. This has been going on for 5 years or this has been going on for 10 years. I see a comment right here from Pastor Jono. Learn from the experiences. Don't allow bad experiences with people to lead to hatred, but rather let the experiences lead to wisdom and growth. Forgive them, but learn. Amen, Pastor Jono. Absolutely. Don't allow bad experiences with people to set up hatred in you. I'm a firm believer in that, and I'm so grateful that no matter whenever I have a challenge or a problem with anybody, It doesn't sting me that way. You know, I learned something a long time ago, and now I've created a little phrase about it. I don't take things personally. I take things purposefully, because if I take them personally, my little feelings can be hurt. My little emotions can be damaged. But if I take things purposefully, I'm trying to find out what is God trying to say to me in this season that he couldn't say to me in the last one? Or what is God trying to teach or reveal to me in this situation that he couldn't in any other situation? Because purpose is bigger than a person. Purpose is bigger than a person. So take things purposefully instead of personally, and then you won't get your little feelings hurt. You won't be damaged when somebody cuts you off on the street. You'll pray for them and not think of, you'll pray for them so that they don't hurt somebody else down the road. Because trust me, if a car has an accident down the road and you're on that same road, you could potentially be affected by it. So why not pray for them as they drive and speed on the way instead of fussing, cussing, and being and complaining about it, and by the time you get to work, you all upset, and your blood pressure sky high, and that person ain't even thought about the situation again. So don't do that. And when you give to someone, if they don't pay you back, don't hate on them because you were the one that gave it to them. They asked, they were in need, they said, and they didn't pay it back. You've learned a very valuable lesson, and it cost you however much you paid. That's just the truth about the situation. It's tight, but it is right. My pastor used to say, it's tight, but it's right. Somebody say, ouch, you on my toes, you on my corns. I know, but sometimes you got to get your corns stepped on in order to realize the shoes is too tight. Mm-hmm. Some shoes are too tight for your feet. You're not supposed to be walking in them shoes, because walking in the shoes called savior complex, codependency, or having a need to be needed will cause you to have corns on your feet, because you are always going to be in some pain. Because it's hard to keep pouring into people finances or giving into people or letting them move into an apartment or a house that you own the building to and they ain't paying the rent. And then the first month they come up short and you give them a little grace. And then the second month they come up short again and you give them some more grace. Now, don't mix up being a Christian, being a good Christian, or being somebody who doesn't know how to do business. Do business. I'm an entrepreneur. I know how to negotiate, but I also know how to extend grace and how to extend favor. There's a balance to this walk in this thing called life. You got to know how to be firm and how to be focused forward, and at the same time, how to extend help to those that need help. But some people will take advantage of you pulling on your kindness, pulling on your sweetness or your Christian stance. And you are not to be gullible. That is not what God created us to be. He didn't create you to be gullible. He didn't create you to be a mat that somebody can walk on. He didn't create you to be somebody that should be dogged out or used up or treated poorly or badly. I'm tired of believers and Christians thinking they need to be weak and docile to the point that they are used and they are mistreated and that they are disrespected. That is not what this means. I am as sweet as they come. Well, I may not be as sweet as they come, but I'm sweet. I'm a very, very nice woman. I really believe I am. And based on my friends' perceptions of me, because sometimes perception doesn't meet reality, but based on the feedback that I get, I am a sweet person or a nice person or a kind person. But I ain't never heard nobody say, Mara is a doormat. Mara is a pushover. Mara is a woman who you could just dog out and use up. That ain't my title. I'll be nice all day. I will be sweet all year. I will be kind for the rest of my life, but I will not be used. I will not be mistreated. I will not be played, because that is not of God. That is not Mara either. Hey, not of God, not of Mara. No, that is not it. No, no, and N and an O. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and open it up one more time in case there's some conversations that someone would like to have and to call in. The phone number is 347-324-5246. All you have to do is press 1 to be entered in the queue. Of course, the topic we've been unpacking today is when help hinders. When your help of someone else hinders their ability to grow through a situation. Grow is it as in go through it, but grow through it, learn from it. When you're bailing them out so much that they never even learn how to balance a checkbook or learn how to have a savings account or learn how to invest their money or learn how to plan for the future, because when they get paid, they broke. From the moment they get paid, all their money is already spent. I remember, I don't know if my boy's still on this list. I had seen him earlier, but I was touring with a stage play. And I've never lived paycheck to paycheck. I'm so grateful. I don't really know how that feels. But I was touring on a stage play, and I had savings, but I had a checking account. And so when my bills were due, when we were touring on the stage play, I would write out the check, and I would mail the bills back. This was before everything was so automated. But I would mail the bills back. But I remember when we were touring this play, that people would spend their money on the restaurants, and then they buy clothes in every city we went to. Excuse me. And we'd get paid every Friday, but by Wednesday, they were broke, partially because instead of them having a checking account, a lot of them were using Western Union. Western Union, where you have to pay to send money home to pay the bill. So now you know, already lost $20, $30 in that transaction. That don't work for me each time. It's not like a checking account where you may have a monthly fee of $14 or $16, but that's for the month. I'm not paying $15 every time I write a check out. When you go to Western Union, you're paying, I don't know, $15, $20 to send money to somebody. I don't understand that. That don't make dollars or cents for me, because I'm giving money to send money to somebody. So, you know, and I get it. Some people may not be able to have a checking account. But I believe if you work diligently and focus on the thing you want to grow, because what you give your attention to will grow. What you give your attention to will grow. What you think on, so a man thinketh, so he is. Same be true with money. If you focus on money, meaning if you pay attention to how you spend money, I want to ask you. If you're having a challenge with money, I want you to pay attention to what you're spending it on. I want you to write down all the bills you have. I want you to put the numbers in front of you. I want you to see where your money is going. Because a lot of times, especially now that we have everything automated and you don't put money physically in the bank and you don't get money physically out, you take a picture of your check goes in or it's automatically deposited, and then you never see the cash. You just put a card in a machine at a grocery store, a department store, a clothing store, or wherever, and then you're not touching it. Your relationship. You've been desensitized to the relationship that is money and exchange and give and pay. And so if you're finding yourself broke every month, I need you to write down all the bills, not just the bills that you pay online, but I need you to write down the automatic bills, the ones that are taken that are secretly on, you know, like I got an ink cartridge everything's subscription. So ink cartridge, you know, they're mailing me a new ink cartridge because they charge me a certain amount every month so that I can have an ink cartridge anytime I need it. You got music on your phone. If you're with some subscription service, you then have access to a catalog of millions of songs. Or you got a TV streaming program, and they're taking money. And then you have rent. So more bills are coming, but your check may have not been getting bigger. So you're still paying for your cell phone, but you got more bells and whistles on it. And now they don't want you to buy the cell phone. They want you to pay for the cell phone over the long haul so that they can get that money coming in every single month. You don't even realize how many people are taking from you because you're not even paying attention to it. You're being lulled into things. That's the same thing that happens with stewardship when you're helping somebody and how you can end up hindering them because you're lulled into helping them. You're emotionally invested in your child not being evicted, or you're emotionally invested in your kid not having this car or not having this cell phone or whatever. But the reality is, those are your emotions. You probably parented them properly. You probably instilled in them the importance of saving for a rainy day or making sure you have something set aside in case you ever need it. I'm sure you probably did those things, taught those things. Those were the most valuable things you could give, life lessons, time, give them a safe environment to foster their dreams and their hopes. The cheapest things that we have in the world are those things that we can pay for, because I can buy a house again if I lose it. I can buy a car again if I crash it. I can buy clothes again if I outgrow them or they get burned up. But I can't buy my organs in my body. I can't buy a healthy body no matter how much money I have. Trust me, there are wealthy people who are dying who cannot buy their body. They can't buy their organs. The most valuable things you have are friendships, our family members, and is your body. It is your peace of mind. It is your dreams and ability to have aspirations and imagination and hope. It is love. They're the most invaluable things you have, because no matter how much money you have, you cannot buy them. You can't buy your family. You cannot buy your friends. Well, you could pretend to buy your friends. You could pretend to buy your family. But at the end of the day, if the money is gone, so too will they be. So the most valuable things you have, you can't even afford, which means all the things that money is affording you are not the most valuable things. They're just things. They're just things. And that brings me, I'm going to close, but I'm going to close with this. You know, Kobe Bryant, it wasn't like I knew him personally, but I lived in L.A., and I remember when he first, you know, came to the Lakers, and I remember he and Shaq playing, and I remember when he went to the Olympics, and there's just so much. I remember, even the bad part of things, when he bought Vanessa the big pink, I think it was a pink diamond ring or whatever. I remember all of that, but I also know that he was at the top of his game. And the thing I believe, the reason I believe he was not only just celebrated in such a phenomenal and amazing and extravagant and extraordinary way is because when people are at the top of their game and they're no longer with us, there's a void. Like Michael Jackson was like at the top of his game. And when he died, I remember exactly where I was and what I was doing. When 9/11 happened, I remember that. I remember exactly where I was and what I was doing. There are certain things that get stored in a certain way. When I heard that the plane crashed and that he was dead and that little Gigi, his daughter, who was phenomenal at basketball, passed away, I was sad like I knew him. People were sad like they knew him. I believe that the multitudes grieved because he was at the top. When he was in his game, he was at the top of his game. You know, not everybody strives to be the best. You know, you could think Michael Jordan, you could think Michael Jackson, you know, there's the Michaels and something about that Michael thing. But my heart and my spirit grieved for Vanessa and those girls, knowing that she lost a husband and a daughter, and they lost a sister and their friend. And then I grieved for the Mamba team. You know, they lost 3 basketball players, a coach, and the founder. It's heartbreaking. Why am I saying that during OMG's Your Help Can Hinder? Is because every day is valuable. Every moment that you have a moment is precious and invaluable. You can't buy time. I don't care how rich you are, you can't buy time. So hug the people you love. Remind the people that you care about that you love them and care about them. Make time and take time to spend time with the people who you say you love and care about, because tomorrow isn't promised. It just isn't. It's not promised to any of us. And in this political climate, in this, you know, tense environment, it's imperative that we be about love, that we be about the things that are most important, that we be about our Father's business. And he said, the greatest of these is love. So you can love someone and not continue to give them money and keep them in mental and financial bondage. You can love someone enough to say no and to teach them the importance and the value of money and money management, and remind them that stewardship is about taking care of everything that you have possession of, everything that God has given you possession of. Someone just wrote, some people have their priorities wrong. It is their belief that you must live large and in charge, but this is not like that. But in the long run, you have nothing to show. And if you have an emergency, you have nothing that'll take care of it. Why? Carol, I wish I had an answer to why people live to impress the Joneses and the Joneses don't even know who they are. Yes, you're right, Jono. Live every day because every day is a gift. Rest in peace, Tim Strickland. That's your big brother. And I know when he passed away, a musical genius. And I'm also reminded that today, the 30th of June, is also the day that my husband, Pastor Gerald January, lost the love of his life. First Lady Jera January passed on today, the 30th of January. They discovered her body on the 31st. So it is not lost on me that there are some people that are not with us. So, and you don't know when they're going to go. You don't know when that's going to happen. So the goal is to always do right, always share love, always be about your daddy's business, because you don't know when your last day or your next, you don't know when your next day may be your last day or your next hour may be your last hour. So use your time, be a steward over your time, your talent, your treasure, your friendship. Be a steward over everything that's within your possession. And know that I appreciate you tuning in, leaning in, and listen up. I'm going to go ahead and close out the show. I want to remind you that you can catch my show via podcast pretty much every place podcasts are played. That's Apple Music, Google Play, Stitcher app, as well as Spotify. But y'all who haven't tuned in or haven't signed up, go to uptomeradio.com, subscribe to OMG. You can also go to Spotify, go to Up to Me Radio, and then look for OMG as well as Apple Music, Google Play, or the Stitcher app. You can also check me out on my website, mauragale.com. You know I have a recurring role on Dynasty, and my film with Lawrence Fishburne will be out this fall. It's called Brother's Keeper, and I play his wife. So you guys keep praying for me. I'm sure God will keep opening up the windows of heaven and pouring out blessings I don't have room enough to receive. And know that I'm praying for you, my friends, my supporters, my fans, my family, those who are listening. May God bless you with wisdom. May God bless you with the heart to be a good steward. And may God bless you with a good, long, healthy life. Take care. God bless.
Heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. OMG.